Welcome to Blakey Psychotherapy. We're glad you're here. Thinking about therapy and talking to a therapist requires courage. You've taken the first step. Another common question I hear from clients during therapy is this normal? According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, there are many definitions depending on the area of normal you're looking at. Since we're not talking about the areas of science or math, I'm going to use the definition of conforming to a type, standard, or regular pattern as a jumping-off point for this post. Individually, we often come up with our personal idea of normal by looking and comparing ourselves to others. That's how we determine what is the standard or regular pattern. However, what happens when what we're experiencing is unlike that of those around us? Merriam-Webster also defines normal as occurring naturally. From a life perspective, I think this meaning is more helpful and forgiving. Every person is an individual with their own thoughts, reactions, feelings. These occur naturally based on our experiences. In Buddhism, there is a concept that we are the sum of our experiences. We can be a mixture of a happy 5-year-old and the despairing teenager, the ecstatic newlywed and the stressed parent, the toddler and the senior. It all fits organically into who we are at this moment. Therefore, while there can be a range of normal, I suggest that this range is very broad. The challenge comes when our normal negatively affects our life or the lives of those around us. That's when we may want to seek help. Another Buddhist concept is that everything changes. Nothing remains the same. This means that we are constantly in transition. Sometimes the changes are minor. We gain or lose a few kilos. We need to change our routine to work. A houseplant dies. At other times, the changes are major. We lose a partner. We get sick. Sometimes the changes aren't negative. Maybe a new member joined our family, or we started a new relationship, or moved to a new city. Dr. Jon Kabat-Zinn, in his book Full Catastrophe Living, writes, quote, "Even inanimate material is subject to continual change. Continents, mountains, rocks, beaches, the ocean, the atmosphere, the earth itself, even stars and galaxies all change over time, all evolve, and are spoken of as being born and dying. We humans live for such a brief time, relatively speaking, that we tend to think of these things as permanent and unchanging. But they're not. Nothing is. The point is that life is constant change from the word go. Our bodies change in countless ways as we grow and develop over the course of a lifetime. So do our views of the world and of ourselves. Meanwhile, the external environment in which we live is also in continual flux. In fact, nothing at all is permanent and eternal, although some things appear that way because they are changing so slowly." End quote. So, if everything is in constant change, how do we find normal? When we think of change or transitions, the concept of resilience comes to mind. Resiliency is our ability to adjust and recover. We build our resilience by practicing self-care, sleep, diet, exercise, having realistic expectations of what we can do, avoiding toxic thinking, being able to cope with ambiguity and uncertainty, and developing a support system. When we are able to cope, we're working towards a new normal. Let me tell you a story. Peggy was an 84-year-old woman who lived in her home for 60 years. When she arrived to the home as a newlywed, it was a mess. The previous owner had let the place go, and it was in much need of repair. Peggy and her husband, Ron, renovated the house themselves, learning the necessary skills as they went. Once their children were born, the house moved from its pristine condition to the patina caused by a busy family. Peggy's memories were tied to her home. She could tell you the origin of every bump on the wall or scratch on the floor. When working in the kitchen, she could see the face of her late husband sitting at the table. Peggy could hear the hurried footsteps of her children as they raced up and down the stairs. On cold days, she could feel the draft coming in from the living room window, the window that had defied their attempts at weatherproofing. One night, Peggy awoke to the smell of smoke. Looking outside her bedroom, she saw that the hallway was full of it. Peggy called 911 from her room, and the firefighters were able to rescue her through the window. As Peggy stood outside, it was clear the house could not be saved. The property was well insured. Peggy would be able to afford a new place, but her home and her many belongings were gone. Peggy moved in with her son while the insurance was being settled. Because she liked her privacy and independence, Peggy knew that living with either of her children was a short-term solution to her housing situation. After a few months, Peggy found an apartment that she liked. It was close enough to the library and her favorite grocery store that she could walk there if she wanted to. The months between the fire and actually settling into her new home were busy. Peggy was distracted from thinking in any great depth about what had happened. However, once the last of her new furniture was in the place and all was quiet, the enormity of the change hit her. So now what? How many times have each of us, after a major change, said, "When things get back to normal"? But what if the change, like Peggy's, is your new normal? What if we have experienced a life-changing event? Major changes, even good ones, involve loss, often. Peggy's loss is easy to see, her home and her possessions. However, some of the more difficult to determine and may not become apparent until we're faced with a post-change life. While Peggy liked her new apartment and its proximity to the places that she regularly visited, she missed the walk through her old neighborhood. She was accustomed to checking on the progress of her friend's garden or greeting the cat who lived on the corner. At the beginning, Peggy was a little late for appointments because she forgot to factor in the time it took her to get from her unit to the parking garage. In the kitchen, preparing meals took a little bit longer because she had to hunt for utensils that were in new places. Everything felt different, and feelings of grief began to emerge. When we experience a loss, grief is a natural response. For Peggy to be able to move to and embrace her new normal, it was important for her to work through the tasks of mourning. Peggy's next steps. Task one, accept the reality of the loss. Peggy had already started this task as she spends the time in her new apartment and becomes more aware of how much has changed, both large and small. Task two, process the pain of grief. The key to completing this task is to give ourselves permission to feel the pain. Rather than turning away, we acknowledge that we're hurting and missing what we've lost. When we pay attention to our pain, we may notice it isn't necessarily as sharp as it was before, or maybe doesn't visit as often. During the first year in her new home, Peggy would often find herself caught up in the grief cycle as she moved into a year of firsts. She discovered that if she sat with her tears, they would eventually subside. Peggy learned that she would feel sad leading up to a major family event or holiday. These celebrations now took place at her son's home, as she no longer had the space. Task three, adjust to the world that doesn't have what was lost. As time went on, Peggy found that she thought about her house less often. The depth and frequency of her sadness started to ease, and she started to think of what a future in her new home might be like. Task four, start a new life while keeping a connection to what was lost. One day, Peggy was surprised to notice that she was looking forward to her walk to the library. She had started to pay attention to the houses on her route and was curious to see how a recently started renovation was going. When the next family event approached, Peggy suggested it be changed slightly so that a new version could be held at her home. As she became more comfortable in her apartment, she started hosting smaller dinner parties for her friends and family. Peggy started creating new memories in her new home. As Peggy became more comfortable and life became less difficult, she was starting to approach her new normal. Normal can fit into a broad range of thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. So long as your normal isn't negatively affecting you or others, then I suggest the wisdom of accepting what currently is. Life can be stressful enough without comparing ourselves to others and questioning ourselves when our normal is different from everyone else's. If you need some help moving into your new normal, please give us a call. I'll see you in 2 weeks. Thank you for listening. The Blakey Psychotherapy Podcast is produced and recorded by Anita Woodard from Woodard Administration. Please subscribe and tell a friend about the podcast. For more information or to connect, our website is www.laurieblakeye.com. Thank you and take care of your mental health.